EAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks, for the second hour of tonight's show. It's been an interesting conversation as we've been talking about clout chasing, because this is a phenomenon that is happening culturally where folks were willing to do almost anything to gain some level of attention, to gain some sort of validation on social media. And so as we look at this situation, I mean, I keep going back to the ice cream situation because I think that it's absolutely appropriate in this context. But then we could also look at clout chasing as how we define ourselves. Like, as much as there is an expression on an outward expression, an external expression, really clout chasing is a real sign of what's happening on the inside. How you see yourself, how we collectively see ourselves. And I'm looking at, if you think about how we have embraced some of the worst things of, say, you know, about our community, about our city, you know, these things add to the perception that we have about ourselves, that perception that other people have about us. So when we're talking about clout chasing, doing these things for attention, I mean, we like the attention of that Baltimore in some cases, and I'm saying some, not all, obviously, but I think some people really like that negative attention. They like the fact that the city is seen in the light of being down, dirty, and grimy, that the city is seen as being unforgiving, that the city is seen as being cold-hearted, that the city is seen as being a place you don't body more murder land. Like, we embrace that. But then you have that other side where that's not the case. That's not the reality. So as much as we talk about the individual self, we have to keep in mind the collective self as well. And I wanted to talk about this because with the Bluebell ice cream situation, now the original case, not the one about the man, the 36-year-old, but the 17-year-old, she has, there is a big conversation about how much time she should face for her doing that, just this heinous act. Police say she could face up to 20 years in prison. And some have planned on even arresting her on a charge of second-degree felony tampering. So when you do something like this, again, for clout, for attention, and so when you get to that place where you just want to, you know, put yourself or put other people in harm's way. We had a situation in Baltimore. They call him Plain Potatoes, who is a quote-unquote internet troll. This is an individual, a man from Baltimore, who got his, you know, claim to fame based on doing bizarre tactics and destroying property and filming all of it, and people encouraging him and supporting that level of expression. His name is Markel Carter. He's out of the 2400 block of East Madison Street. He was charged with 20 counts of trespassing, 6 counts related to harassment, and 1 count of second-degree assault, all that which stemmed from incidents, that allegedly occurred while he was making videos for his Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook account under the name Plain Potatoes. And so he used this persona to provoke people, usually through insults, and he would just say do outrageous stuff just for clout, just for attention. Now he's locked up. Now he's facing legal, and ain't nothing funny about what's going on with him right now. But it just goes to show how far people will go. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Steven in Severn, then I want to hear from Dwayne. Steven, what's your take on this?
Hey, Faraji. It first started hitting me when I saw all these parents who were disciplining their children in all types of outrageous ways and videotaping it and putting it out there as if that was the way that you should discipline a child.
Oh.
And you know, cutting their hair all crazy and putting it on the internet.
Yeah, I've seen those videos, Stephen.
Even further. So, what happened, you know, in 1968, you know, the great leader, Martin Luther King Jr., had a sermon called The Drum Major Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about this need for attention and feeding the ego.
Mm.
And how you... He wanted to be known at the end of his sermon where he talks about how racism is an aspect of the ego and the need for race supremacy in your ego. And the same can be, you know, stretched across class, gender, etc. He talked about being a drum major for justice and mm-hmm. wanting attention for being somebody who's focused on justice, for righteousness, and being focused on what it is that will uplift the community. So I think, you know, what the young lady said about Harlem Park, it struck a note with me, because that's exactly what Dr. King was talking about in his sermon, you know, in 1968. And it's something that the social media companies have dug into with our psyches and turned into and flipped it around on us, where, you know, even our internalized oppression is now being expressed online in ways that, as you said earlier, can make us even more cold-hearted.
Right.
Can make us feeds our desires to go into that internalized oppression, so that we can maintain obtain levels of attention and as you would say, clout chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated the breakdown of, you know, the nepotistic ways that our leaders have failed us in the previous discussion. But
yes,
I just wanted to call out Dr. King and point everybody towards the Drum Major Instinct sermon and thinking about how we relate to each other and relate to social media and this device-driven culture that we're living in and how divisive it could be.
I love it. I absolutely love it, Stephen. I would like to say that I'm a student of Dr. King and his theology. And so I'm going to share with you some of the words that Dr. King used for that sermon. Then we're going to get to Dwayne and then Cozy, because you're absolutely right. Dr. King said it in this great speech when he said, quote, "And there is a deep down within all of us an instinct."
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a drum major instinct, a desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. And it is something that runs the whole gamut of life. And so before we condemn them, let us see that we all have the drum major instinct. We all want to be important, to surpass others, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. And he also mentioned, he said that Alfred Adler, the great psychoanalyst, contends that this is the dominant impulse. Sigmund Freud used to contend that sex was the dominant impulse, and Adler came with a new argument saying that this quest for recognition, this desire for attention, this desire for distinction is the basic impulse, the basic drive of human life, this drum major instinct. And he talked about this being the way that children are, but he said this, "Now in adult life, we still have it. And we really never get by it. We like to do something good, and you know we like to be praised for it. Now, if you don't believe that, you just go on living life, and you will discover very soon that you like to be praised. Everybody likes it, as a matter of fact. And somehow, this warm glow we feel when we are praised or when our name is in print, it is something of the vitamin A to our ego."
Faraji, can I just say, you got to hear Dr. King's preaching of it. The reading of it from you is amazing. To hear it,
I'm gonna hear that.
You gotta listen to the sermon too, because his voice speaks to your soul. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the depth of how he just said what you said about everybody likes it, as a matter of fact. When he says that, It speaks to you with the way he says it.
Yeah, no, so, I agree. Stephen, you ain't hurting my feelings at all by comparing me to Dr. King.
I appreciate you reading.
No, I'm just sharing the text, but you're absolutely right. That man will move your heart, your soul, your spirit. He will speak to you.
He's speaking to us still.
Yeah.
He's seen this moment when he was at the mountaintop. He's seen this moment. and he's still speaking to us. And so we got to read his words and focus on what his words were to be able to guide our movement, because he's a leader for all time, for all people. So it's like that's where I feel like our leadership needs to be redirected into our character of focusing back on what our previous leaders that had character said and promoted character, which is why I appreciate you focusing on character so much, is that it makes me think back to who I need to be.
I'm glad you brought it up. Hey, Stephen, I'm glad you brought it up, brother, and I thank you so much for checking in. But I'm absolutely, I'm so glad you brought up the great text of the day, the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King, into this conversation, because I think it is appropriate. Now, he said these words 50 years ago, folks, and now we're seeing a very, very unhealthy, and I believe in a distorted expression of the drum major instinct right now. Dwayne, talk to me. Baltimore City, checking in. What's your thoughts?
Shoot, man. Thanks for letting me ride, but I don't know what else to say after what you and Steven, y'all just said it all.
Come on, Dwayne. I know you, brother. Come on, man. Share.
Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
And this is what I was going to say previously anyway. You know, the deepest hunger, and I've said this on your show before, the deepest hunger of the human soul is to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so understood also means accepted. It also can mean acknowledged. And so the reason why we are seeing the things that we are seeing that come out of people is because everybody wants to be understood on some level. Everybody wants to be acknowledged on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be accepted on some level. Okay? And you will do anything. People, before the internet was around, people did things to get up. Approval and acceptance. You know, people join gangs so they can be accepted by that group of people, you know, and they go out and they terrorize the city and do stuff. You know, people join certain groups. People, you know, it is a deep down human fundamental, you know, part of your soul that you need. It's a human need, more or less, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes dysfunctional. It becomes neurotic when you have to have it, when you will do anything to get it, because that often will clash with societal norms.
So, Dwayne, considering that, and I like it, considering that, because we're seeing this across the spectrum. We're seeing this from both the young and the old. We're seeing this from various groups of people, black, white, Asian, Latino. This thing has a life of its own and has been able to, and I'm saying this thing in terms of this phenomenon, this cultural trend that we're seeing right now, it has a life of its own. And that the whether social media has brought this thing totally to life, or I mean, I truly believe it's always been there. The ego has always been present. But now we're at a point now where the ego is the driver.
Well, the ego has always been the driver.
Right.
Okay? The ego, you know, we as human beings, okay, we exist to effectively turn ourselves inside out. You see what I'm saying? Everything that you see in the world that's been created was inside somebody, okay, and then they spewed it out onto the world, you know, by creating it, by putting their hands on it, and by melding steel and plastic and concrete together. We created it, you know, man has created this world the way it is, you know, creating societies, creating civilizations, all of this stuff. You know, so as human beings, we effectively are turning ourselves inside out. And everyone has within them that thing that wants to be accepted, that wants to be approved of, that wants to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And we will go to extremes to get it. The only thing the internet companies have done is given us a vehicle to do that, to make it easier for us to do that. You see what I'm saying? And at times, you know, because of the anonymity of the internet, and also the fact that you can go viral and become famous, okay, you know, quote unquote, everybody wants to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
It is the perfect collision, you know, of forces. It's the perfect storm of forces coming together. Our human instincts and this vehicle that allows us to express that instinct.
There it is. Hey, Dwayne, always appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Cozy. Add to the conversation, sir.
Hello. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, Cozy. How are you?
They still got me on the run. KGB, CIA, FBI, DEA for my political views. But anyway, I'm the meanest
militant
man in Maryland. You know
that. Gotcha. All right. So Cozy, what's your take on this? And I like the direction that Dwayne has taken and Stephen has brought in Dr. King. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is this. You know, like you said, some people do a lot just to, you know, chasing that clout just for attention. You know, just plain old stupid, just like hood rat stuff. That's what they do, just to get attention. Negative attention to them is positive attention. Any attention is good attention to them. So they're going to do stuff like that. Now, however, I don't believe that a person licking ice cream should get 20, 30 years. No. Murderers, people who attempted murder, don't get 20, 30 years. See, those are certain judges of a certain color finally will be able to give people of color more time than they do. What's her name? That Ariana Grande, whatever her name is, that licked that donut.
Yep.
How come she ain't get no time? How come people didn't fall off their chairs and the world war isn't coming to an end when she licked that donut, put it back? Should she get 20 years too?
Right.
Come on. And that's a little ridiculous. You can punish them, make them do a lot of community service, fine them $2,000, a public apology, all that kind of stuff right there. So I'm not into that punishing people too hard and all that just for the crimes and, you know, stuff like silly stuff. You can, you know, use them, you know, for another example. You know, so, I mean, that's what I think on that.
Yeah.
And it was something else, too, that you had mentioned. See, I got to write this down. You know, once you get over 40, man, you start forgetting this kind of stuff, you know.
Don't tell me that.
So also, too, I heard where they want to, you know, give her, like, give that person, like, 20 a year or something for each time they do it or something like that. That would be like if somebody punched me 10 times. So you're going to give them 10 different sentences? No, just give them an assault charge, one assault charge, even if they hit me 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But I had a little treat for the ladies that I wanted to, you know, if I got an extra 20 seconds.
What kind of treat is it, Cozy? Because when you talk about treating the ladies.
Just a little singing to the ladies, that's all.
Why would you sing to the ladies, Cozy?
Hey, some of them miss me. I'm just getting back in town. Some of them I haven't seen in a while. And
so what we're going to do, all right, we got a special show. Reserve that for our Friday show.
Okay,
yeah, right, we're going to talk about some male-female relationship stuff on Friday.
Right. I'm going to call Friday.
Call me on Friday. I don't want you to, don't serenade the ladies right now because they might not be able to handle it. They might not be able to handle it. All right, just call in on Friday. No, real talk. I want to have a conversation about some male female things. So on Friday. So definitely call us then. Gene from Pikesville, what's your take on it, sir?
Hey, I was laying here listening to singing. So how can I fit in it? it's a very deep subject.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Cozy wanting to sing a little something.
No, well, that's Cozy's problem, man. I've been there, done that. Man. I'm home resting and licking my wounds.
But no, go ahead, Gene. So, what's your insight about this?
See, because you know I'm the history buff, right?
You are the history buff.
So you got to go back to Tesla, but Marconi was given credit for the radio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Joseph Goebbels perfected using propaganda by using, you know, the radio, you know, to put forth his propaganda ideas, you know, in Nazi Germany. But it was Joseph Pulitzer, who the Pulitzer Prize is named after in journalism, and William Randolph Hearst, who actually perfected this, because they went back and forth and used... you know, it wasn't social media then. They were using the newspaper to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name? Pulitzer set William Randolph Hearst up by, because what they would do is one would put a story out, the other one would plagiarize it, and then put it out in his newspaper in the afternoon. So they went back and forth. So Pulitzer set Hearst up by, you know, writing this story, knowing that he was going to steal it, and then he sued him. So this is the way. Actually, this is the way it started. What it wasn't social media. I think social media understands this and uses this technique And, you know, voila, and this is where we are now.
Wow. Well, hey, Gene, I want to share with you and the rest of our listeners just some thoughts as we add to this, what Dr. King said in this Drum Major Instinct sermon, because I think it's so appropriate. And again, Stephen, thank you so much for bringing up the great doctor.
And that's timely. Yeah,
very timely. But he says, there comes a time that the drum major instinct can become destructive. And that's where I want to move now. He said, I want to move to the point of saying that if this instinct is not harnessed, it becomes a very dangerous, pernicious instinct. For instance, if it isn't harnessed, it causes one's personality to become distorted. He said, I guess that that's the most damaging aspect of it, what it does to the personality. If it isn't harnessed, you will end up day in and day out trying to deal with your ego problem by boasting. And then he said, have you ever heard people that you know, and I'm sure you met them, that really became sickening because they just sit up all the time talking about themselves? He said, and then it does other things to the personality. Check this out, Gene. He said, it causes you to lie about who you know sometimes. And there are some people who are influence peddlers. And in their attempt to deal with the drum major instinct, they have to try to identify with the so-called big name people. And if you're not careful, they will make you think that they know somebody that they don't really know.
Yeah.
And then he said this. Here it is, folks. Check this out. I'm just working us up to it. He said, the other thing is that it causes one to engage ultimately in activities that are merely used to get attention. Criminologists tell us that some people are driven to crime because of this drum major instinct. They don't feel they're getting enough attention through the normal channels of social behavior, and so they turn to antisocial behavior in order to get attention, in order to feel important. And so they get that gun, and before they know it, they rob the bank in a quest for recognition, in a quest for importance. Gene, oh, Gene, oh, my gosh.
Okay, so that's how we get, you know, the red press, man bites dog, and then you go into a theater and you scream fire and it's not a fire.
Right. Hey, Gene, this speaks volumes because as much as we might say, well, that's just one person, but look at how many people feel that they are not being appreciated. They don't get. They're not seen as valuable. That they're not. That they're not seen as somebody that's worthy of attention.
And relevant and important.
And relevant and important. That they decide that they have to do antisocial behavior.
And they act out on their ego.
And we all have this. And this is the thing.
Horrible egos, man.
Man, we all. First thing, we all got egos. We all got it. We all got it, right?
But it's to protect you. You know that your ego is to protect you. It so when you walk through the woods. You know what I mean. It protects you from the signs that you should be aware of. It's just saying, be careful. Watch out for the rattlesnakes. Watch out for the wolves. Watch out for the, it's there to protect you. But in neurosis, if you begin to follow your ego, then you become a psychopath or a sociopath.
Right. Right. There it is. Hey, Gene, always a pleasure.
Yeah,
the historian checking in from Pikesville. Thank you so much, Gene. Look, I got to take my final break, folks. When we come back, we'll have a way to wrap up this conversation because it's gone into so many new spaces and places that I don't think that many of us really considered about this. But especially with this drum major instinct, I'm going to continue to share with you what the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King had to say about this and the impact of it. And hopefully we can get into a space of understanding how to harness our drum major instinct so that it doesn't become destructive. Look, stay riding with us. A whole lot is coming up in the final 30 of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Go snitch, CC. Talking, but you never drop a addy, CC. Why you acting tough? You ain't staticky, CC. Got your ass out. I do this for my culture, 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 culture. I do this for my culture, culture, culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. right here on your source for cool jazz. Some more WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me for the final 30. Folks, I have to say that the conversation that we've been having about this whole idea of clout chasing and what clout is and the impact that it has made has been a very fruitful conversation, at least for me, because I'm hearing so many of you sharing so many insights, insightful guidance and understanding about this. And then to, you know, we have been talking about how Dr. King talked about this. If you really think about it, a lot of our Black leaders have talked about vanity and this type of thing before. I know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has done many different messages about vanity. And this is not like 20, 30 years ago. He's done this within the last 5 years about vanity. We've been talking about Dr. King talking about the drum major instinct. If there is something about this, there is something about this that we still have to address, that we are still contending with when it comes to how we see ourselves. Just as much as we have all of these other issues, right? All of these other challenges that are facing our people collectively, that is facing our community. But there is something about this instinct within us. There's something about this desire to be recognized, to be known, that has to be controlled or regulated, rather. I know controlled might sound very hard, you know, harsh and frightening to some, but to be regulated, to be handled in a way where we're not totally diminishing that part of ourselves, but we're handling in such a way where we understand that it exists and that there is a balance to it. So when you hear it from national leaders in the midst of all of this stuff is happening, but then you still are talking about vanity. You're still talking about those intangibles. You're still talking about the human condition to the level of human psychology and human behavior and antisocial behavior and all of these things. Like, that means something is there's something about this. There is something that is present about this. Dr. King said, "The final great tragedy of the distorted personality is the fact that when one fails to harness this instinct, he ends up trying to push others down in order to push himself up. And whenever you do that, you engage in some of the most vicious activities. You will spread evil, vicious, lying gossip on people because you are trying to pull them down in order to push yourself up. And the great issue of life is to harness the drum major instinct." So when you have the tower and temple of me that has been erected on these platforms and that has been transferred to our real life and has gotten to the point now where we don't see the value of other people, our ego is so big, our presence is so big that we only see ourselves in the room and not other folks, then now we become destructive to not just to ourselves. You're becoming destructive to your neighbor, to your community members. You become destructive to history because there's no real progress unless there is a large contingent of folks that are part of the change to bring about that progress. But if it's all about you, then the ego or that level of wanting attention can be the greatest enemy. It won't even be the United States government. The United States government can play off of that, right? It won't be any particular institution that you may be going up against. It could just simply be yourself. You are your own worst enemy. Therefore, you can become a hindrance, a real liability to the movement of making social change, to the idea of making progress. Man, it's deep, folks. absolutely deep. And Dr. King is right on point when he said that that is one of the greatest tragedies of the distorted personality, is that we start to see ourselves bigger and better than our brother, our sister, our neighbor. We start to see ourselves as much more than we should in a very, very unhealthy light. Let's go back to the lines as we try to bring this opportunity, this conversation, to a place where we can make sure that everybody can grab something from it. And I hope you've been grabbing something from it, because I have been, because of it causes me to reflect, as much as I hope that this has been causing you to reflect about where we are, not just as a community, but we have to do the great work of self-development. That has to happen in order for this community, in order for this city to even move forward. If we can't look at the shortcomings and the flaws within ourselves, then how can we expect the institutions that serve as the stewards of our lives to become better if we're not willing to do the hard work to be better individually? Alex, talk to me. What's your take on it, sir?
Yes, Brother Faraji, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well. It basically comes down to freedom. We are not free. Okay, we are not free. We have to choose our master. Either we're going to be positive or we're going to be negative.
Hmm.
That's how I feel about it.
Talk to me a little bit more about this.
Freedom,
I think I understand. I think I understand when you're saying that we can't serve two masters. That the Bible says that, right? We can't serve two masters. But you're saying freedom. So talk to us about this. Are you saying that we're locked in, or we are imprisoned by what?
The whole concept of it is an illusion. It's either you're going to serve God, which is goodness, you know, from a spiritual aspect.
Okay.
Or, you know what I'm saying, if you're not serving goodness, if you're not doing everything towards positivity or towards goodness, then what other alternative is there?
Right,
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Evil.
Right.
So from the top-down level, you know, from the spiritual realm to the mental realm to the physical realm, everything starts in the spiritual realm.
Uh-huh.
We need to choose your master in the spiritual realm. So if you do everything towards positivity and goodness, then that will lead you in all things that are good for you.
Mm.
But this whole freedom, this freedom aspect, we're not free. Because the things that we do, either consciously or unconsciously, you know, it has an effect on everything that we do.
Right. Right, right. So, here's the thing about that, Alex. This is the interesting point, and I think this is the great irony, is that we actually have the choice to choose freedom.
I got you.
No, that's what this is what it sounds like you're saying. We have the opportunity, and we can make the conscious decision to choose freedom to not be a certain type of way.
Well, freedom is a synonym for the word choice.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make a choice. So mm-hmm. within the choice, there is no freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're serving God, okay, you're serving God.
Right.
If you're serving devil, you're serving devil. But there's no freedom out of that. If you're not serving God, then the other choice is the other choice.
All right. Well, here's the thing, though. Now, if we use that from that aspect, and I want us to keep it. If we look at it from that aspect, we are living in a time where falsehood looks like truth and truth looks like falsehood. We are living in a time where it's very hard for us to make the distinction between what is right, what is good, versus what is evil and what is bad. Because the lines have been blurred too much in so many different aspects of our lives.
And it's being done by design, because
of course,
there's power in confusion. You keep the people confused, then you know you can guide them any way you want. But when you know the truth, because you've sat down, you've done a lot of introspection.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you look at life. You know, a certain path will take you a certain way, and another path will take you another way. There's only two paths. So if you're on the right path, you're going to have a good result. If you're on the negative path, it's going to be a negative result.
Yeah.
We're just living life, trying to survive.
Right, right, right.
And if you don't sit down and make conscious choices about what you're doing, then you're bound to, fall in the pit hole when you don't see it.
Let me ask you this. I'm curious, Alex. When you see folks that are do things just to seek attention, what lens do you look at folks? Do you look at it through the lens of good and evil, or do you look at the lens of you know, what, a soul that is in need?
I look at it as everyone has the potential for good. It's just that we're lacking that education, that original education from when we were little.
Okay.
You know?
Yes, sir.
And the example, you know, of the people that are around us, our parents, showing us, you know, what is the right thing to do. So I believe once with the proper education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us aren't getting that right education between what is right and what is wrong. But once it's presented to you, then you have a choice to make.
Yeah. I hear you. All right, Alex, I appreciate your insight. Thank you. We need that to add to the conversation here. 410-319-8888. Alex said education, which I agree with. You do have to have a certain knowledge there. But then I think that when it's interesting because we all, I mean, it's, you know, when we're young, by the time you're about 5 or 6 or so, you know what's right and wrong. Certain things, right? You know what I mean? I'm not talking about the real heavy, high, you know, like high concept things. I'm just talking about, you know, if you didn't buy something, then that's not yours to take. That type of level of understanding of right and wrong. You know what I mean? Because your mind and your spirit will inform you of that. Man, this conversation is taking me to a different space, folks. I'm telling you. Mel, talk to me. What's your take on it, sir?
Hey, Brother Faraji.
Hey, Mel.
To the point where Dr. King was talking about the ego.
Yeah.
And usually people with a lower self-esteem tend to have that type of a personality. One time, John Dillinger robbed a bank. Ran back into the bank and said, "Do you know who I am? I'm John Dillinger." You know? Yeah, a very important
yeah. Wow. You
know? That's the kind of person he is. People have to feel inferior to you in order to want to be superior. Example, slavery. Obviously, those folks felt superior in some way, aspect, that they had to prove that they are superior. On the point of freedom, we as a people are not free. We have liberty. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you take a cow, just one cow, and you put him on 100 acres of land. Now, that one cow can roam all. But there's a fence, okay? There's a fence that he will eventually come to, okay? So he cannot go past that barrier. Even though he has a lot of roam, place to roam, he can't go past that barrier. Same thing with us. We have liberty.
Mel, you still there? Mel? Oh, Mel, we lost you. I want you to give us a call back if you can very quickly. That way we can allow you to finish your point, Mel. But I see that point. I like that analogy. I like that analogy a lot. We have liberties, not freedom. But I'm always back to my fundamental belief is that we do have the power of choice, which makes us unlike the lower beast of nature, that makes us who we are in the big scheme of things, right? That the power of choice, we have the power to make a decision. And sometimes I believe that gets muddled in this conversation about things that are happening around us. Like, we do have power on how we respond to the world around us. Now, Dr. King says it in his speaks, and it's already known. He talks about the great influencers, the great influence of advertisers. He talks about it. Like we are in that moment right now, folks, where the advertising that we are consuming have so much power over us, and we don't even know it. I'm saying that it affects us on a subconscious level. It affects us on a subconscious level. For example, how come when there is a big football game or something like that, how come, where did the idea of watching a sports game and eating pizza and drinking beer come from? Like, why is that, like, synonymous, right? Somebody had to plant that seed. Somebody had to give us that mental picture, that physical picture, seeing some group of people sitting around the TV, you know, rooting for their team, having a great time, and somebody picks up a beer and drinks it. It could be a Budweiser. It could be a Coors, and this would be like, live life with your friends. Drink Bud. And then, you know, boom, you drinking up that beer, you having that pizza, you drink. But somewhere along the line, and so we have taken on that subconsciously. Just a simple thing of, you know what, the big game is coming on. Let me get a bottle of beer. Let me get a couple of beers. You know what I mean? How come we don't say, hey, the big game is coming on? Let me cook up a pot roast. Like, let me get some pot roast here. So we got to understand that there's power in that. Clark from Baltimore County, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Hey, Viraji, thank you very much for having the program. Once again, you are among the best of the best.
Thank you so much, Clark. I truly appreciate that. What would you like to say about this? I know you got something to say, sir.
Well, a couple of things. You had a caller or two, this gentleman back, who says, "Well, you know, we're not free," and he's absolutely right. Freedom is, you know, in the terms of one of my favorite movies, The Matrix, the problem is choice.
Mm-hmm.
We are committed. We must commit to choose, as the man said, to do right or to do wrong, to do good or do evil, you know, do bad or do, you know, unbad, whatever the case, whatever the,
right,
however you want to phrase that.
Yes, sir.
And the problem is choice. We must choose. We're not free. Freedom is an illusion. Freedom means you don't have to choose something, but that's not true. You do have to choose. Otherwise, you get lost. Those are the choices, to be lost or not be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, I guess I kind of disagree with the gentleman when he says thinks everybody has capacity. There are some people who have simply been robbed of that capacity to do good.
Right,
if
right,
indeed they
right.
had it.
It's, yeah,
it's
psychopath.
My humble feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's also in the world of science, there's that question of, is it nature or is it nurture?
Nurture, yeah.
You know, so those are our ingredients in the mix as well. But, you know, again, the problem is choice. But in order to choose right from wrong, good from bad, et cetera, we have to know that they exist.
But, you know, here's what I'm looking at now, Clark, is the fact that many times, like, when people do outrageous things, whether it's on social media, whether it's on in real life, right? And mm-hmm. I'm always, like, asking myself, like, what motivated you to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that need for attention.
Right, that need for attention is a very, and that's what I'm saying. That need for attention is so real. It's so prevalent. It's a palpable, tangible feeling. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's like that expression has to come out in some way, shape, or form.
No, I don't. It doesn't sound crazy at all. Because the challenge. You know, let me share with you one of my greatest challenges that I've overcome with time and my maturity. And the challenge for me, particularly as a youth, and in this culture, this thing-centered culture. The challenge is to separate my net worth from my self-worth, or vice versa.
Mm.
Our challenge is to keep our self-worth as high as possible, independent of where our net worth goes. When our net worth is zilch, even minus, is our self-worth still up or is it down?
Mm.
And if we can hold our own self-worth and recognize our individual self-worth, then we can recognize the self-worth of our fellow human beings, our brothers and sisters in this country and on this planet. But it starts with self. We have to, and again, independent. And for me, and that's personal. It's very personal for me. Separating my net worth or my self-worth from my net worth.
And if you don't mind me asking, Clark, because I love that. Uh-huh. I absolutely love that. How do you first? What is the first step in that process? Because I think that's very hard for many people to do. Because unfortunately, we are in a thing-centered society. So therefore, the value of us as human beings is being measured by the things that we do and the things that we have.
Right. Well, the answer there is space.
Space.
I'll use one word, faith.
Oh, faith. Okay.
You have to bear with me. Phone down for a moment. I'm driving while I'm talking on the phone, and I just passed by an officer.
So, sure.
No, Calvin, we were cool. He didn't come at me.
You dropping jewels while breaking the law.
Well, you know, of all the people, I hate to use this gentleman's analogy, but it is fitting, and I haven't heard it from anywhere else or any other source. The gentleman, because of his life of crime, Mr. Al Capone. Al Capone said, there is no right or wrong except that your thinking makes it so. Got me? There is no right or wrong except how you think about it. Because if you think in your heart, mind, and soul and are committed to that, that's right. Regardless of what the rest of the culture, rest of the society, which is a key word in one of your other early conversations today, is antisocial.
Right.
See, we are, it is right or wrong based upon your environment.
But there are some things that are, like, legitimately wrong.
Such as?
So if you're saying, make sure I understand, because now you're about to take me there, Clark. I ain't got enough time for you, sir.
No,
I don't have enough time.
We can't do this in an hour or two. You can't.
Right.
But
you're saying if I'm not far off, it sounds more like context, right?
You got it. Don't be in denial. You got
no,
it.
No, that I know is, I'm not in denial.
It.
No.
It is no.
No, but you're talking about context, but there are some inherently wrong things that you can do. Like, you know, and I mean, I don't want to go into this dark space, but inherently wrong for you to violate a child. That's inherently wrong.
In what culture?
In what culture?
Yeah.
I mean, we can start that in here. I mean, even in America, as much as we got his challenges, we got the whole case of Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire financier.
You know what I'm saying? I agree that he is wrong, and I agree that he's done some very wrong things.
Right.
But there are other cultures where women are able to be married at 15 years old. Young girls. We can't even call them women.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very slippery slope, though.
But in our culture, again, how are we socialized?
Right.
How are we taught to think about those issues?
Yeah.
See, is that it's our thinking that makes it right or wrong based upon, A, what we've been taught, based upon, A, again, the society that we are brought up in, and B, the leadership of the society deciding, is that a right thing or do we think that's a wrong thing?
Gotcha. Hey, Clark, I'm going to have to let you go. I really appreciate you, man. And I thank you so much for bringing up some of these valid points. And I hope that we get to hear from you again. Please don't get pulled over. But I really, really appreciate you. You got me thinking. Kyle from Pikesville, you got the final word on this. What's your take on this?
Hey, how you doing, Roger? I was calling. I'm kind of piggybacking off the last caller. You know, it's a text that says that we were created to experience. So, you know, I don't look at things as choices, as right or wrong. I just look at them as experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we learn from them, you know, whether we or other people consider them good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, it's still an experience. So, you know, man has choice. Animals have instincts.
But doesn't that open up the door,
though? I don't know whether they got the upper hand or not, but, you know.
But doesn't that open up the door, Kyle? Like, for example, if you're licking ice cream and then put it back in the freezer. If you open up a bottle of juice or tea and then you do something and tamper with that tea in a very nasty way, that's wrong.
I don't know.
You say I don't know?
No, really? No, I understand what you're saying. It's a disgusting thing to do.
But that's wrong.
You know what I mean?
But that's inherently wrong. Like, you're violating, you're putting other people's health at risk, right?
Could be, yes.
I mean, there's no... Okay, well, let me ask this question.
What is the definition of wrong, Haraji?
Well, if you're talking about from what? A legal perspective? Or you're talking about
from Webster's Dictionary, a generic...
A generic, you know... Well, here's... Let me... I was always taught that wrongs are transgressions of God's law. Let's put it that way. Let's put it in the spiritual context right there.
Okay.
Right? I mean, there's some level of transgression.
Now,
if we're talking about legally, it depends on what it is. If we're saying the dictionary, something that's incorrect, unjust, dishonest, immoral, you know, those words come up.
And those are the slippery slopes because my morals might be different than your morals. Like the last caller said, I travel different countries.
Right.
And a lot of cultures have different standards than we do here in the U.S.
I get that. I totally get that. No, I understand that and I respect that. But I think the bigger thing is if you're doing those things with that in mind, and I'm saying we can't apply those standards in America. We can't apply those standards in this country if that's not the socialization of this country. We can't be like, oh, in my country, we licked ice cream. You know what I'm saying? And then, but in America, that's just wrong. That's illegal. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So if as much as we might say to ourselves, well, what is wrong, what is right, we do have to adhere to. We have to adhere to the laws and to the to the standards of this particular society that we're currently living in, right?
Okay, I agree to that to a whole lot of extent, but
right.
I mean, you go back to what you said earlier. Other people can become more spiritual as they grow, as they learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, like the racists in our country today.
Yeah.
A lot of them change their ways, or some of them change their ways. But, right. I mean, if you're taught to be a racist, to hate other people other than yourself,
yeah,
then that's what you're going to be.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. Hey, Kyle, I appreciate you too, man. Thank you so much for checking in and being a part of this conversation, checking in from Pikesville. Folks, let me tell you something. Absolutely mind-blowing. I've enjoyed this conversation 100%. And even if we're not on the same page, that's all right. That's the purpose of the platform. Let's get on the same page about something and then start working from that point. But I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm serious. Each and every one of you for being a part of this conversation to have so that way those who may not have called in can listen, can gain, and hopefully will be inspired to think deeper about what we talked about. All right, folks, that's it for me. I want to thank my dynamic production team. It's Mallory Pinkett Pierre, our station manager. Alex Blanc, my producer. I want to thank my man Sean Don and Dre Day for making me sound so good. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of the conversation, both online and on air. Make sure you check us out at weaa.org to download all of the latest podcasts and your favorite episodes of For the Culture, as well as your favorite episodes of my colleague today with Dr. K, Dr. K Whitehead. And you can find all of the latest news and information about what's happening around the city, what's going on around the world. That can all be found at weaa.org. Stay tuned. Up next is my big sister, LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz, that neo-soul, that R&B that will soothe you out for your evening. That's LaDawn Black with In the Groove coming up momentarily. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I'm Faraji Muhammad. Follow me on all social media at Faraji Muhammad on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I look forward to making the connection with you. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.